You can eat the eat that up and just for dinner and enjoy yourself. Okay. So you can have background music also.
So you come back. There's a shear here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
No, you're not embarrassed.
No, okay. I walked in too.
Yeah,
I was totally on schedule. I'm prepared for this time. She was prepared, but I'm prepared for this time. Okay, better late than never.
Right.
So, anyway. We'll talk about Hilas Chala. They say, don't be embarrassed, have your dinner over here. Okay. Marv's at 8:10. 8:10?
8:10.
Yeah. 8:10. 8:10 is the shoot before Marv.
5 minutes, sure.
Okay, fine. Set it going. Alright. First of all, we mocked him. The din of Chala is a very interesting din. Unlike other din in the Torah, we find that it's dependent, Menatura, on all Klai Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael.
Wow. All?
All Klai Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the question is whether the role of Chalos, Ruvu Kukulo, or they say Ruvu Kukulo, if the majority of Klai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, what's the din then? I'm not sure about, to tell you the truth. The Gemara says, B'yas Kulchem, the Gemara says B'yas Kulchem, it doesn't speak of role.
Wow.
So all Klai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, one Jew is out of Eretz Yisrael. That, I think, with all the Shvatim in Israel, that is enough. I'm clear. But that's the point that says clearly, B'yas Kulchem, all the Chai Yisrael has been in Israel, in order to have a key of the Torah of Kalah. The Chum came along and said that even though all the Chai Yisrael is not in Israel, but there's a key of the Rabbanim of Kalah, Mimafish Kalah, even though all the Chai Yisrael is not in Israel. And they made it a very interesting din as well, that not only is the Chiyuv Rabban in Eretz Yisrael, which the Chiyuv the Chalam in the Torah is only in Eretz Yisrael. You take wheat from Chutz La'aretz and you make challah in Eretz Yisrael, you make bread dough, right? You make bread dough in Eretz Yisrael. It's a question in the Gemara, but it's in Maisa. Halacha Maisa is Chayiv. You take wheat from Eretz Yisrael, bring it to Chutz La'aretz and make bread in Chutz La'aretz, and you put it from Chalam in the Torah. So the Chiyuv Chalam is only in Eretz Yisrael. And in the Torah, the mitzvah challah was to give to the Kohanim. What's the coin? One of the mountains kohuna. And you would have a certain amount, whatever, and you'd make bread from it. It has the same feature as truma, mamish, eaten by a kohen who is tohar, which means therefore Kohanim is going to say can't eat challah because they're not tohar, they're coming base. But in times of the had been like truma had been eaten by a kohen tohar. In the Torah, the amount you have to give a challah is even mashu, even a little bit. You go to Angel's Bakery, they're baking 10 tens of bread over there, you take a little piece of dough this size, Harizu challah patches up all the bread in Angel's Bakery. That's why challah has, you don't really find Trumas Meisters in there, take Trumas Meisters to mafresh them, it's fake, it's challah, almost no one makes a subget of challah, because it's so easy. For example, let's say in Angel's they bake the bread, say they bake, one day they bake 500 tons of bread. 500 tons of bread. Let's say Mashiach forgot to take challah on one of the one ton of bread. He forgot, he wasn't there, he went out, speaks to someone, his telephone rings, he goes out, speaks to him, a whole ton of bread goes in, oh, he goes out, goes in, forgot about it. Why did they? What's he going to do? It's very simple. Next batch of bread comes along, next ton that comes along, takes challah, how do you do challah? There's mind that popped everything in Yerushalayim.
Wow.
And it takes care of it automatically. Some
ways, so. It has to be before the
baked. What?
It has to be separated before it's baked.
Should be separated?
Before it's baked.
No. It's every after it's baked. You get a loaf of bread, you have to set it steak and challah. Take a crumb of bread, hurry the challah. You should take it. Put it aside, burn it. You really give it to burn challah.
Wow.
And that's it. That's all you have to do. Very, very simple. Very easy to do.
It goes in every batch of dough?
No, like this. Oh, let's explain. How does it work? How does mitzvah challah work? So, number one, it's extremely easy to recommend mitzvah challah. The Chum came along and says, and said, that since the purpose of challah was a matanah to the kuna, they should have one of the matanah kuna. Just like truma, they gave a shear of 1 in 50. So challah, they also give a shear. They also give a shear of the one you should give another coin has something to live off of, something to eat. Minotaur, it's enough to even mashu. And pater, 100 tons of bread. Right? The one they give a shear, what's the shear? So they said, for a naftom. Not known as a baker, a person who bakes a professional baker, he bakes in large quantities, so he, it's enough for him to give 148. And for a private person who's baking bread in their home, They give 124. As a shear of Rabban. This man is there. Since we just mentioned that a coin can't be tahal, this man is there. So, there's no shear of, this is the shear of going flying anymore. Because when you give the coin, what's he going to do? Burn it. So you give him a piece of bread like this to burn it. Takes him 5 hours to burn it, a piece of dough. That's not worth it to him. So therefore, it's enough mashu, you take it, put aside, and burn it. The Midi Gemara says, the Midi Gemara Tanu Shachon, the Gezayis, take a Gezayis from the moon, the Chal Yerub Shabbat, take the Gezayis, about this time. We make with Molt Mek Shita, which is a third of an egg. And a third of an egg is like this much. There's only a Midi Gemara. As you said, even mashu is enough. If you have a Sabbat Chalav, take a crumb, one crumb. Patches up the loaf of bread, patches up however much bread you have in the house. So that's the mitzvah of giving challah. Yeah.
Mrs.
Asse
or
Mrs. Asse? Mrs. Asse. It's Mrs. Asse, and it's compared to truma. Torah calls it truma, and since it's compared to truma, so therefore a person who eats Sabbath eats bread, doesn't they have a happy challah minatura? That's meant in the times of this mitzvah when there was a heap challah deraisa, but then. The lucket is that it's high mitzvah shemayim.
Wow.
For eating challah. Like truma, eating truma, same as eating truma. Mitzvah shemayim. Today, it's only drabonim, so therefore, it doesn't apply. So this is drabonim, yeah.
And it's only applicable in
Eretz Yisrael. Pardon me?
It's only applicable in
Eretz Yisrael. But it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, right. Hold on. I'm going one step at a time.
Okay.
Chacham gave a gezeira that even with Man Azed, it's only Rabbanin. There's only no Chiyuv Chalav in the Torah. Nonetheless, Rabbanin, there is a Chiyuv Chalav. And therefore, you have to take Chalav with Man Azed. In Chutzaretz, it's in Chalas Chutzaretz. They didn't want us to forget, even in times of Beis Mikdash, about Chalav, even in Chutzaretz, even Jews went into Golos, they didn't want us to forget the Mitzvah of Chalav. Definitely, a din of Chalav, Rabbanin, in Chutzaretz. There are very big kulas with challah chutzaros, very big kulas. There don't exist a challah in Eretz Yisrael. The most famous of all the kulas in challah chutzaros is that if you got a mafrish challah, and it's written again the matzis, lo pesach. If you got a mafrish challah and your matzis, so it's tevel, you can't eat them. Tevel means it's like I think you have too much maizers taken from it, you can't eat it. In Eretz Yisrael, you're in hot water. You can't take challah. Just like you can't take truth maestro on Yom Tov, you can't take challah on Yom Tov either. So therefore, a person forgot, maestro's challah from his matzahs. He can't Yom Tov, so he's in hot water. What does he have to do, borrow from a neighbor or something, whatever? In Chutzaretz, they said tremendous kula, Paul's Chutzaretz, the Lenin kula, that what you can do is, you eat your matzahs, leave over a little bit, after Yom Tov, you say, Yari Zuchalah. In Paul's Chutzaretz, you can leave it over, eat the bread, or the matzah, and after Yom Tov you say, we go a little piece to tell you how to challah. That's that passes up. It would be cool about challah's chutzaretz that you don't have in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, people in chutzaretz who forget the mafrish challah and the matzahs, no problem. Simply after Yom Tov they say, Haruzu challah. Leave over a little bit, eat their matzahs, eat a little bit, and say, Haruzu challah after Yom Tov. That all applies when they got their matzahs in chutzaretz, the main shevets in chutzaretz. But if they got them from Eretz Yisrael, which a lot of them do, then it's got a din of bread made in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have the kula then anymore. Mm-hmm. The matzah come from Eretz Yisrael, then you don't have that kula anymore. So you have to make sure you mafrish take challah before you have to. Or you buy it from a factory, which is mafrish challah anyway. So that's one of the kulas for challah chutzaretz. The other kula for challah chutzaretz is a very interesting thing. We don't have the money to do it anymore, people don't do it anymore, but if you give the challah chutzaretz to a coin. There was another thing. There were two challahs that they used to take in chutzaretz. One was to burn, as a remembrance of mitzvah challah at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The second one was they used to give to a coin cotton, who was less than 9 years old, right? That is not a tame from tumas keri. And the coin cotton would eat the challah in chutzaretz.
Wow.
That's the Midigan time of Shulchan Aruch. Today we don't do it anymore. People don't do it. But once upon a time, we used to do it. So we find a coin cut less than 9 years old, give them one of the part of the challah's good souls. In Eretz Yisrael, there's only one challah. Yeah.
I've got a very practical dinner question. If I made mazonos before, I'm a mistake, and it was brought from a challah, now I've got mazonos in my super right now.
Ah. You brought mazonos on this stuff over here, the kasha?
Yeah.
Yeah, and cash is very casual because it's a... it looks like mizonas, it's pretty mizona actually.
Exactly.
Yossi b'diav.
What that is?
Mizonas you made on this, yossi b'diav. The halacha is, if you make a mizonas on any food, except for salt and water, yossi b'diav. If I take a cucumber, make a mizonas on it, yossi b'diav.
Sometimes if I just put chip kabot and I set a frame dama on it afterwards.
And then the halacha mice over here. Now the MS is,
there's a
butchering
on that one.
What? Oh, you notice you like this, you notice you on the kasha, but if you ate a cucumber, you have to make a bracha on the cucumber. Notice, you didn't make a bracha on the cucumber, you made a bracha on the kasha.
I'm
making a bracha
on this,
I'm just... cucumber, you're making a dhamma.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you made a
dhamma
already?
I made a
dhamma
already.
You made it on the kasha, which you noticed already, but yeah, it's making a bracha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
the
mazonas in your soup now?
I just
did
the mazonas
in
my soup then.
You have noodles in the soup.
What? No. There's just grain in the soup.
Oh, it's grain in the soup. It's barley.
No.
You make mazonas in the soup.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now. So we had this cool chalas kutzaris. In chalas Yisrael, or now. So as you mentioned, you have to make chana. What circumstance is a person chayv in challah? What type of food? What type of bread is he chayv in challah? What about cake? What about noodles? What type of different things? The Torah says, when you make a dough, and it's from the five types of grain, which is wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye. Wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye, not kasha, and not rice, and not. What's it called? Millet has to be five grains. Wheat, barley, oats, spelt, rye. So if you make reishis arisu seichem, it says over there, it says your dough. Chazal learned out that referring to the size of the shear they had in the midbar of the mon, the omer, asir seifa, not the omer, sorry, asir seifa, the shear, when they had mon, they had the bread in the midbar was a certain amount of mon each day. How much is that amount of mon each day? A certain shear. Chazal say that it was a tenth of an eifa, which practically speaking comes out to 43 and a fifth eggs. The volume of 43 and a fifth eggs. What?
You mean this for a person?
Person?
You mean this for a person? The portion of mon, you mean this for a person?
But they gathered different by person, but the amount they have and they got home is the same for everybody. Everybody had equal that. Right? It was a nest. One guy gathered a whole bunch, and a big muscular guy over there goes out there picking up left and right, boom, 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 puts in the cleat. It's on the cleat spot, one walks in the cleat. So where'd it all go? Then there's this little old lady over there walking around, you know. So he gets home, opens the thing, big pile of money in the pot. It was a nest. The amount of money they had each day was 43 and a fifth eggs worth of money. Buying the 43 and a fifth eggs.
Wow.
You want to know a whole hedgeman how they got to that, but take my word, that's what it comes to. 43 and a fifth eggs. How much is that practically speaking? So, practically speaking comes out like this. You have a machlokas in the shirim. The machlokas runs throughout how much is the kazayas, how much is the kabetza, and a lot of other shirim in the Torah. A very famous machlokas, what people call machlokas of Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish. It's really not their machlokas, they made it popular, but machlokas existed long before that. But anyway, the question is, that there's a couple of sugyas in the Gemara where the Gemara tells us how to figure out volume of certain shirim in the Torah, or revius actually, and it makes one cheshbon that's 1.5 basin, revius of wine is 1.5 basin, and another cheshbon makes you can do with fingers, that's bowls, you can do with fingers, volume, square volume, 2 1/3 by 2 1/3 by 2 1/4, I think it's coming out, by two. There's another sugya that Gemara makes a cheshbon called an esper, width of the thumb. Okay, so what came out from that is that there's a steer. You make the chesed based on basin, volume based on basin, make the volume based on the fingers, so something happened that didn't come out. That actually, one is twice the amount of the other. It's a big question of posting what happened. How did this discrepancy come from? What is twice the one of the other? It couldn't be more. It's like, they came to the conclusion that basin changed size with time. It's kind of basin got smaller with time. That's the most common portion came to. The people change, the size of people change, they don't take on the people change. The size, but the size of the basin changed. And therefore, the Chazanish says that the mice of the basin were bigger than our basin today. And it comes out, according to the Chazanish, a basin is 100 cc's. The volume of a basin is 100 cc's. 100 cc's. Okay? Actually, 2.3 ounces. Right? That's the size of a basin. So, you can't have 43 and a fifth basin. So it's very simple to make a computation now. 43 and a fifth times 100, right, is 4,300 and a fifth, 4,300 and a fifth, about liters, 4.32 liters, 4.32 liters, approximately a gallon, I think of that, approximately a gallon. That is the volume that's higher than Holland, 4.32 liters. That's it. It's a volume of flour. So I computed into cups.
Flour.
We'll call each what?
Flour or dough?
Flour. We come with a flour, volume of flour. You add water to it, you make a dough out of it, that volume of flour. How much does that come, practice speaking, in cups? So you figure like this. You figure
cups.
A cup is about 250 cc's, I think.
Or 8 ounces.
Yeah, it's probably 8 ounces. A cup is 8 ounces. Approximately 250 cc's. I have once figured out the exact amount. But it comes out like this. So 250 goes into 4. Oh, let's say 400. 250 goes into 400. How many times? 16, right?
16
cups. Yeah, 4 cups. Coming up 4 liters approximately. A liter is approximately 4 cups.
Yeah.
A liter is, what is it? It's approximately 4 cups.
Yeah, it's 16 cups.
So you have 16 cups for 400. Plus another cup or so for the, and then you have over 320 cc's left over.
Right.
You have another cup, 17 cups, plus another bit of half a cup. So that's 17 cups, 17.5 cups approximately of flour. Then you would have a challah with a bracha. You could challah with a bracha. 7.5 cups of flour, you can challah with a bracha. Weight, you can't do it by weight. You know why? Because flours have different density. You have light flour for making cakes, and you have denser flour, like whole wheat flour is much denser. The weight of flour can be, but the volume.
Variable volume when you, like before you sift or after.
Right, sure, right.
So
it doesn't make a difference. You take the volume you're going to take, measure into your bowl, 17.5 cups approximately, and mix in the bowl. And once you have 17.5 cups, you make, that's it. After you sift, when you're ready to make the bread.
After you sift.
After
so
you sift.
Because that would be less flour than before you sift.
Yeah, probably, yeah, most probably, right.
But more energy.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So you take 7.5 cups of flour, and you can make a brach on the challah. Brachas Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher kidesh shemo tzav v'tzivonu l'hafrish challah. Right? This is l'hafrish challah. Some say challah min ha'isa. Challah is enough. Some say l'hafrish challah min ha'isa. In the dough.
How much challah do you does it like one loaf is like how many cups would you say of flour?
I can.
I mean,
normal
size.
Don't
ask me.
Yeah, in my version, I use like 4 cups, like a 2 pound loaf.
Mm.
1.5 pound loaf.
Four cups for a white flour.
Yeah, white flour.
Yeah. Okay. So, in any case, we're both saying that's the problem. Now, Rav Chaim Noah said that nothing happens to eggs, and he gives a different hesper behind the answer to Gomorrah's, and he said the eggs are, an egg is 50 cc's. 50 cc's approximately. Half the amount. So according to Chaim Noah, so once you get approximately half the amount of flour, it comes out to 8.58, a little bit more actually.
Yeah.
So say 8.5 of Chumrah, you take challah without a bracha. And actually, if you want to mark for the whole day, I think it was 7 cups. Once you have 7 or 7.5 cups of flour, because Rukhan was in my book, it's 45 grams or 50 grams. So if you go to Lukumra, 7 cups of flour. Once you use 7 cups of flour, you take chal without a bracha. Without a bracha, it's a suffix. You take chal without a bracha, and boisai. When you're taking chal without a bracha, you don't even have to take a gazayas. A gazayas is only a minig. You're taking it, and it's a suffix. You're going to mash it up a little crumb, put on the side, how do you call it, and that's it, without a bracha. So, why don't you use 7 cups of flour?
You have to sit.
What?
You have to sit.
You have to sit, yeah.
Something you have to sit. No flour?
So you have to sit for flour?
Yeah.
No. It depends what kind of flour you get.
Right. I'm doing cake today with a specialty.
I mean, everybody says sifting. Everybody says, I just want to tell you something. Sifting flour. If you have clean, you have to check for bugs, right?
Yeah.
So that depends on what kind of flour you're using. Half flour, they sell Ben Yehuda over here. They grind it, they put it in vacuum packed bags, they put it straight in the refrigerator. You don't have to check it. It costs more than regular flour, but it's worth the time. They have whole wheat and whole, all different types of whole grains. So it's just it's more expensive. You save time if you don't have to check it. Otherwise, you have to sift it because bugs is very popular in flour. And it has to be sifted. You have to have a special sifter to check the flour. It has very, very small openings in it because the worms, little worms get through and eggs get through. And like that. We call it the Nebrach sifter. It takes out the eggs. What?
Nebrach sifter.
What?
Liquid source as well.
Liquid source,
you need to sift flour as well.
I don't know much in Kutsaras. Definitely in hot places, for sure, you have to sift because this is warehouses. I don't know what the situation is. I imagine in England probably don't have such a cold climate there, most probably. I don't know. You have to have a bundle in each place what to see.
I asked Rabbi that question, and his wife, for like the last like 17 years or something, 17 years they were married, she stopped sipping because she never, ever once found it.
It's very possible. In Kutsar, see, today everybody's side, they have air conditioning, they have climate control, these type of things. So it's very possible that. You know, that the bugs don't grow so prolifically like they used to once upon a time. Once upon a time, we had air conditioning 3-40 years ago in the hot summer time. You know, in Bnei Brak, in the bakeries, they have to sift the flour every 3 hours.
Wow.
Because it's so hot and humid over there, and the bakeries are hot as can be, right? Tremendous humidity, but the bugs grow very, very quickly. Extremely quickly. In Yerushalayim, you can't get wheat germ from the bakery, or that's when I'll allow it. Because it's too warm. Also, you can't buy by region. In Bnei Brak, you can get it. They produce it. They put it in bags for the day. You go the same day, buy the same day, and it's generally clean. Okay, but that's the situation in Israel. In America, as I say, I don't know. Each Israel. Look, if you're in Maine, everybody's talking. If it's cold, or someplace in Minnesota like that, so it's going to be different than if you're in Florida. The situation. Uncle Funny, that's a chicken dough. So once you mix the dough, you have this amount of flour. You mix your dough. The chiv challah takes place when you have a dough. When you have a dough, not when you're still in the flour form. If you makrish challah in the flour form, it's not mitzvah challah, it's not challah. Nothing happens. Okay, so once you have a dough, that size, you can take challah, harizu challah, and as a minhag, you take the gezeiz we mentioned before. If it's less than a shear, it's a suffix shear, you leave it in a mashu, a little bit is enough, and it's mitzvah to burn it, the chafil to burn it. A coin. Who wants to be netted from the burning of the challah and put his pot on top of the fire when he's burning the challah and have hanor from it? But Israel, who's burning the challah, can't have hanor from it. And therefore, in our house, my wife burns the challah, she burns on the burner, so we put a pot on top and at the same time we cook on top of it. Uh-huh. But normally speaking, you have to burn it, put it on the side and burn it on a separate burner until it becomes charcoal.
How about like throwing out the toilet?
No. Challah has to be left until you burn.
A lot of people wrap in tinfoil and throw in the oven while they cook at home.
They shouldn't do that. They really don't do it. Kippers will trick the oven.
Oh, no, actually,
no.
They're kohanim.
Okay. Now, everybody said, big question over here, the $64,000 question is, how we just mentioned applies by bread. What about by cake? And what about my noodles and all these different things?
Probably not.
Well, that's your very safe answer there.
I would say no.
We grew up in America, we learned, you know, the good politician. Yes, no, maybe. You know, in the same speech you give, yes, no, maybe, probably. And you go see the polyamor, as long as they vote for you. Okay. The answer is by saying that you probably guessed it, as Big Mark was supposed to about how the people how it works. There's a Gemara which says, a Mishnah, a very interesting looking Mishnah, which says that when you have a situation where in the beginning there was a dough and in the end it was Sugonim. Sugonim is like a very puffy baked dough. So the Gemara talks about when you make it a dough in the beginning and it turns into Sugonim. Now, what are we talking about over here? Sugonim was like Suganiyot, have your jelly dough, it's a very soft and puffy. So what the Gemara is telling, what the Mishnah explained is the Gemara is telling, we have a blila oven and a blila racha. Blila oven Gliba means a mixture. Ava means thick, like a bread dough. You know, it's dense, you know, it's a kneaded dough when it comes out of dough, like for bread. You make a cake batter, what is it like? It's liquid, you can pour it,
yeah.
Right? That's called Gliracha. Racha means rat, means soft or liquid. What comes out, so the Bimachas Yishonim, what happens is you start with a dough which is a thin dough, and you bake into the form of a bread. And vice versa, you take a bread dough, and you turn it into noodles for a second. Make noodles out of it. Boil it. You don't bake it, you boil it. What's going to be the din over there? You go after the time when you make the dough, which is a bread dough. You have the time when you bake it, which turns into bread or turns into noodles. What do you make out of it? So it's a big focus about that. If you boil it up or you bake it in the end, whatever happens. It comes like this with Yosef. That the halacha, that if you bake something, you mix up a dough, a little oven, like a bread dough, and you bake it in the end, that's bread according to all opinions. You take a blue racha, you bake a thin dough, which is really not usually a bread, you're making it something like, which has not in the form of bread at all, according to all opinions, it's puzzle. If you bake a thin dough, and it turns into like a cake, or which is a cake is a type of bread, really, minotaur bread and cake are the same thing. Birchas mazon, you cake a bunch of cake, you make a birchas mazon, that's it. Turn open. Or take a bread dough, and you, in the end, you don't make it a bread, you boil it, make noodles out of it. So that's a machlok supposed to. The cake dough is a chiyuv challah, there's a chiyuv challah into the bracha, but in the end, it turns out to be bread. Bread form and there's a baked form. And the noodles, what you made, if you made a bread dough, a thick dough, we'll say, made the noodles in, you boiled in water, made noodles out of it. So you take bracha, take challah without a bracha. So therefore, it comes out, practically speaking, cake is chayav and challah, and noodles are chayav and challah. Cake with a bracha, noodles without a bracha. However, what if you made two different flavored cakes? Chocolate cake and vanilla cake. Okay? Two different flavored cakes. You don't want them to be together. You don't want them to mix together. You don't want those mixed together. You want the cake mixed together. You want to tell us that since you're mapped on the flavors being mixed together, you don't want the same flavor. They don't mix sour for challah. They don't mix together. Make sure challah. You have a half a shear of chocolate, half a shear of vanilla. You don't want them mixed together. They don't mix together. They don't mix sour. So you put chocolate cake in your freezer and vanilla cake in your freezer together. You won't mix sour to make a shear challah. However, the same flavor, like matzahs, you bake matzahs, make one matzah at a time, pile them up. One matzah at a time, put it in a big box, suddenly you have in the box, it comes out 2.5 kilo of matzah there, 2.5 kilo of matzah, it's got shear challah in it, boom, it becomes chayav challah, because it's mixed together in one box. You put these matzahs together, put them in one box, it's going to get chayav challah. Okay? Right? People get shalach manos on Purim, big shalach on the post game. They get a whole bunch of shalach manos, so all different types of cakes. They stick in the freezer, one shelf in the freezer, all these cakes. And they all have the vanilla cake, they're going to start for shir challah.
Wow.
Even if at the time we baked it, each lady baked, 20 ladies baked their vanilla cake. Right? It's one in our own house, and there's no shear in each cake. You put them all together in a big box, or in your freezer, in one compartment. You have 20 vanilla cakes over there, you got a shir challah, you got a shir challah.
Not many cakes are made out of like ready dough.
Yeah, well, it comes out bread in the end, right? Normal cake is a bread dough, right? That's right. When you bake it, it turns into bread. Bread dough.
It depends on bread dough. After you bake it, it's
a bread. Well, it depends what kind of cake you make. So some cakes are
like normal, like a chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake is thin. You pour it. It's a batter.
Right. That's what I mean.
So the batter is not a key of how it's.
What sort of cake?
Thin batter. What?
What sort of cake would it apply to?
Sponge cake.
Yes. No. The cake. There's
sponge cake is also a batter.
A cake is a thin batter. When you bake it, it turns into bread. Turns a bread into consistency, then it's got a chiv, it has a chiv challah, and the end it turns to be bread. If you make what's called a yeast cake, which is really a bread dough, you put it, that's what they make these rogla
challah.
And have like, Shabbos things like this, it's a bread dough really, it's a sweet bread dough.
Yeah.
So those boys say that's also got a chiv challah to make enough. Right? But you can start, and you get a shear later on, even after it's baked, you can start and get a shear. You put them on a flat table, it's not a kli, it's not a closed container. So my chalok is, Shalom Post, you put it on a flat table, you put a whole bunch of matzah on a flat table. Some posts can hold, there's a chiyuv challah when you put it on the table, you get them all mixed together over there. So what you do is you put it in a box, or take a big tablecloth, pick it up from the sides, and you put all 2.5 kilo of matzah in there, you got a chiyuv challah for sure. Flat tables are Shalom Post, where it can start.
Wow.
In any case, so there, have a chiyuv challah. If you have any stomach on challah, you have no problem to take a little bit, have a chiyuv challah, and part of the union. it's very, very simple. And therefore, you don't find too many shalas with Chalal Gosim. Sometimes the shalas are the type of shalas you find when people got a chiyuv after, so they forgot about Pishchal. My daughter once made challah, and it was Shabbos, and she said, uh oh, I forgot to take challah. And so we had to go whole pupil, how much made the flour she had, was it shear, not a shear, etc., etc. It was very interesting. I wrote a whole tshuva about it because it had very interesting. It was suffix, and it was suffix shear. I made a specs fake out of it, because we were mutter deed. I wrote a whole tshuva in that story with my daughter's challah. She has something which she forgot to take challah, and it was a suffix shear. Very, very interesting. Okay, but I don't want to hold dips now. You have 2 minutes till you're sure, you're 8:10 sure.